using the New Revised Standard for some reason. I love this Bible because it's small and the words, I understand them a little better. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 17. So, tonight I would like to talk about our Christian life. Give a little bit explanation of what happens when we are born again. So verse 17 says, Paul is saying here, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. So you're not like the way you used to be before. See, everything has become new. So when we are born again, we do not only are forgiven of our sin, but we also are removed the guilt that we've been living with. And we have received the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who brings about the changes that is in us, because Jesus lives in us. And through him, we have a new creation. So we can never be what we were before, because we have been born into his life with a new spirit and a new nature. Because we have a new spirit and a new nature, our desires we had from the past and our goals should be conformed to, not in the past, the new desires that we have now should be conformed to God, to conform to what he has for us.
Amen.
So, here's the thing. When we receive the new nature, we did not lose the old nature. That's the because some Christians forget, thinking that, okay, I'm a new Christian, I have a new nature, and now everything will be fine. But actually, that's when the battle really, really begins, because we still have that old nature that's not going away. So, both nature, the old and the new, coexist within us. Imagine the old nature as if it were, as if it is the law of gravity. You know? So the law of gravity, it's always working, it's always in effect to pull us down, to pull us, keep us on the ground. Now, imagine our new nature as the law that acts on airplane, the wings of an airplane, and that law, it acts on the wing of an airplane to lift it off the ground. However, that is not always in effect as the law of gravity. There are certain conditions that must be in place in order for this lift to happen off the ground. So our new life in Christ, in Jesus, is in order to have that new life, we have to have the Holy Spirit living in us. That's one of the conditions that we need, the Holy Spirit. Without that, we cannot. The old life will take over. So let's turn to Galatians 5, say amen when you get 5, and that amen. Would be 6, verse 16.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Galatians 5, verse 16 says, live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. So verse 17, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the spirit, and what the spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. So you see, they work against each other. And in the King James versions, it says, walk in the spirit. And the New Living Translation said, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. So when we said yes to Jesus coming to our life, Jesus broke that old nature law over our life. Christ lives in us now and controls our life now through the Holy Spirit. So today, as you live your life, remember that you belong to your choice. So if you choose the new nature, you belong to that. And if you choose the old nature, then you will be walking by the flesh. So now, another, Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20. Let's turn to 2:20 here. And Paul is saying here that I have been crucified. That meaning all Christians who give their life to Christ and Christ lived in them, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, you see, it's you have to have Christ in your life in order to overcome that law of gravity that's pulling you down. There's no way, no how that you can do it any other way. So most of my message comes out of Colossians. So if we can turn to there, and I would go over Colossians 3:3, and we will be reading from verse 1 through 17, and then I would break it down. So if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Verse 5, again, put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. And what are these earthly things? Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are ways you also once followed when you were living that life, when you were living in the old nature. But now you must get rid of all such things. And what are some of these things? The anger, the wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek, Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. There's no distinction. Once you become, you have that new nature, it doesn't matter what you did in the past, it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter how you look, it's all, Christ is in all and all, he is all. Verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through you. So, the first three verses where Paul is saying to seek the things above. I asked the question, what does he mean by above? And I turned to Ephesians first. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Let's look at that real quickly. Ephesians 1, 3. The things above, verse, you there? Amen.
Amen.
Blessed, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's the things above. And what are we to see? These spiritual blessings are blessings that not necessarily we can see with our eyes, we can hear, we can feel. You know, we tend to use our senses for everything that we have, but we need to exercise to seek the things that we cannot see, because those are the things that would never be taken away from you. They would not, no one can steal it from you. And even though we can't see it, we have to walk by faith in order to believe, to get to that part. So, and back to verse 1 in Colossians chapter 3, where Paul is saying to seek. The seeking, it's an ongoing activity. It's not just today and then tomorrow you don't. It's constantly, we have to keep seeking in order to get there. Our blessings are not, even we have blessings here on earth. You know, the rain is a blessing, sunshine is a blessing. God bless us with strength. We have a job. We can pay our bills. They're all a blessing. But these blessings on earth are temporal. They're not lasting. They're just for a while. And as as Christians, a lot of us, sometimes we forget. We focus our time, our free time, on the blessings of that we can see with our eyes, ears, and everything, and we forget about the heavenly blessings where we've been promised that we have those above. So this is something we are to be reminded ongoing, not just now, but all the time. So this is about the spiritual blessing, and at verse 2, where it reads, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's verse 3. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So we are hidden with Christ. And there is nothing that can take that away from us. Jesus says, we are constantly working to gain things, and to gain things here on earth, and to spend time on things that none of it is bringing us closer to Christ. And again, the things about from above are things that we need to focus on, so we can stay grounded, stay lifted up in our new nature, and not get carried away with the easy stuff. I remember the verse where in Matthew it says the gate is narrow. Mm-hmm. That leads mm-hmm. to life, and mm-hmm. because it's anything that's difficult, like right now, me standing here and bringing the message, it's not easy for me, but I remain obedient to the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit Amen. tells me this is something you need to do. This is a step forward. A step to lift myself off of what that gravity is that's pulling me down.
Amen.
So, I mean, it comes in little bits and pieces, but mm-hmm. I'll stay the course.
Amen.
I'll stay the course. So, in 5, I broke some. Let's turn to Matthew 6, chapter 6. Verse 19 and 21. I know I'll be flipping back and forth, but
that's okay.
Matthew 6,
19
and 21. We've heard 19:21. We've heard this so many times, pertaining to heavenly blessings. Verse 19, everybody's there?
Amen.
Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I'm seeing, with the Holy Spirit living in me, I'm seeing things where I didn't see before when I was in the old nature. When it comes to simple things like house, cars, God bless you. He wants you to have things. But once we make these material things number one, and put Christ to be number two, then that's a no-no. That's a no-no. Christ is first. He is first in everything. He's first. If if you said you love your child more than you love Christ, that cannot be. Or you love your spouse, mm-hmm. or you love whatever, a house or a car more than that cannot be, because mm-hmm. He is right. our Creator. He gave us everything. The love, we cannot love something more than mm-hmm. Christ. We mm-hmm. cannot, because He comes first. That's mm-hmm. just the bottom line. And this is something we have to remind ourselves every day, because mm-hmm. we've been conditioned to believe that that comes first. And the cool thing about it is, if there's love in your heart for Christ, if there's love in your heart for the Word of God, then everything else will fall into place. Every single thing. Your family would be fine, because even if there's problem going on in the family, you where do you go? You take it to God.
Amen. That's
you,
right.
You take Amen. It in prayer.
Amen.
So, and you know our God is a mighty God. He knows everything. He's a sovereign Amen. God.
Yes.
So it's you can't lose. it's all win-win. So that's where our treasure needs to be above, where no one, nothing can take it away from us. So set yours, turn to 2 Corinthians now. Chapter 4. Did we? I have so many I need to. Second Corinthians 4 and verses 16 through 18. So it's like living by faith. That's setting your mind on the eternal things, the things that we cannot see. It's only possible by exercising our faith. So verse 16 says, so we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slightly momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all measures. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And we ought to be reminded of that. So we're going back to, I lost my spot in Galatians. We're going back to Colossians. I'm sorry. I need to get me a pad. Go back. Colossians verse 5. Where verse 5 is saying, put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Here Paul lists the earthly things, because there's a lot of, there are folks who believe you need to put to death everything, but no, it's there are certain things that would, if it keeps you, if it separates you from your relationship with God, that's the thing.
That's right.
Anything, Amen. If it separates, and fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires, and all, and greed, yes, all of that is, it's anything on earth that will cause a wedge between, that's what I wrote there, that will cause a wedge between your relationship with God must be destroyed, must be moved. That is a sin. The next verse is telling us why, what happens if we don't do this. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. So Christians who do not follow this, God is not pleased. God is not pleased at all, because we cannot have Jesus living in us and be performing these. No, that cannot be. These are ways. There were one time once when we were in the old nature, when we were out in the world, this following the flesh, this is what we were doing, but not anymore. Jesus lives in us now. So, but in verse 8, but now you must get rid of all things. What happened is the old nature would want to rise up. However, since Jesus lives in you, the Holy Spirit, when that comes, the Holy Spirit would tell you right away, no, anger is not of us. Anger is not here. Do not. And so you have to deal with it right away. Can't leave it overnight or whatever, because it's going to get a foot into your life. The way I look at it, it's like the old nature, the new nature, and we need to make the old nature weak, and your new nature needs to be above, on the top, reigning over, in control. Amen. In control. Amen. And the only way it can be in control is if you allow Jesus to be your pilot, to be in control of your life. Everything you do, we need to ask, come to Jesus, ask God, is this of you? Or ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? Not following what your flesh is telling you, because remember, Jesus isn't in control of it. So you let him take full reign of your life. Verse 10, where it says, and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed. I underline this word, being renewed, in knowledge according to the image of its creator, which is God. The word being renewed, again, the old self is stripped away, and the new nature, it's every morning we wake up, it's being renewed. It's never stagnant. It's ongoing. And what we're learning every day is we're growing closer and closer to God. So today, I am stronger, I am closer to my Lord than I was a month ago. And that's the goal. Amen. The goal is, as long as we are alive and living, as long as we are in this body, our battle never ends. It never ends. And we have to remain vigilant. Granted, I've heard there are sometimes even people who have been in the Word, Christian, who've been a Christian for years and years, There are times that the old nature takes over, but it doesn't last. Because immediately the Holy Spirit reprimand and the Holy Spirit would convince that person that, oh no, you know that was wrong. So and because the heart, the longer you live and you live for Christ, the easier it gets. But you cannot let your guard down either,
no.
Because gravity is there, ready to pull you down. And in order to stay lifted up, that condition has to be in effect. Because gravity effect is always working. But in order to lift yourself, can you imagine, in order to lift yourself up off the ground, you have to do something to stay afloat, stay on the top there. So, like that analogy, it really helps me understand that. And then verse 11, where it mentioned Paul is showing that this renewal, because of this new nature, there's no difference. So racism and whatever, it doesn't exist. Female, male, doesn't exist. We all are one. We all are one body. And verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. So I am thinking, when you wake up in the morning, as God's children, we have to put on the clothing of compassion. We have to remind ourselves, say, today I'm going to show compassion, I'm going to be kind. You have to be intentional about it. You have to speak it into existence. Remind yourself of it, because you have it. The Holy Spirit has given us the power to do that. On the old nature, believe me, can never ever get to this point of showing compassion, being meek, being patient. And in my own personal life, I noticed the difference. It really works. But we have to keep at it, keep thinking about it, and know you want to, and do it. Mm-hmm. And do it. Because not just thinking, but it has to be in the heart to do. Bear with verse 13, bear with one another, bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. I've come across even Christians who said, oh, this person had hurt me so bad that I cannot forgive them. And true, if it's from the old nature, the flesh, that is true. That is true. However, the new, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, yes, there's nothing under the sun that it cannot be forgiven. We have, and also, in my own personal life, the one thing, the number one thing that drives me is, God forgave me. And I know I wasn't good at all, I'm still not, but God, He forgave me.
Amen.
So because He forgave me, how can I not forgive the other person? Because I want to, I am forgiven, I want to be forgiven.
Amen.
And I, that blessing, I want it for myself, so therefore, I would forgive whatever. Because, again, God knows the heart, and He only God knows why that person did what they did. We did not create that person. We can't read their mind. Only God, who their creator, is who they have to stand in front of them one day and give an account of that.
Amen.
So, that part, verse 13, about forgiveness, I pray that we, those who are struggling with forgiveness, that they will come to Jesus. They will come to Jesus and just hand everything over to him and let it go. Let it go completely.
Yeah.
And verse 15, Paul is talking about, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. So the peace of Christ, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It has to be the peace of Christ. There's no other way of allowing. Well, there is. If you allow your emotions to rule in your heart, then one day you might act one way, and the next day you might act another way. But with Christ, there's peace. And you do not have to be concerned about, oh, how is this person today? Are they in a good mood? Are they not in a good mood? No, Christ is constant. Christ is love. And with love, all things, he conquers everything. So, if you're going through a storm. Okay, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, with sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. I love this verse because it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I underline the word dwell. Dwell is when something lives in you. So we need to, as Christian, the word of Christ needs to live in our hearts. And live in our hearts, not just a little bit, because when something goes wrong, that little bit will go out the door. We need to have a lot of the word of Christ in our heart. And how would we be able to accomplish that? We have to spend time worshiping our Lord and Savior. We have to spend time in our Bible. We have to spend time coming together and learning more from each other and encouraging each other. And this is how the word of Christ would dwell in us, and not just a little bit, but richly. Richly, amen. Another word for that is abundantly. So that when we're going through a storm, or when there's a crisis, or when there's a sickness, or anything that causes stress or not unaware of, his word would automatically just pull out of our hearts. You know, you're like, oh yes, I might not have a car right now to get to work, but God is good, and I know he promised that his children, he would take care of his children no matter what.
Amen.
So I would praise him.
Amen.
I would not look on my situation to define who my God is.
Amen.
I have
right.
a mighty God.
Amen.
And
hallelujah.
Situation doesn't determine his love for me and his promise that he will take care of me. So therefore, fill your hearts, fill your mind with the word of God all the time. And there are times like, fine, even during the day when it's busy, like on the job, if you have 10, 15 minutes break, open up the word. Now we have smartphones, so you don't even have to walk with a Bible around, but you can get on your smartphone and get a verse that speaks to you that day. and meditate on that first.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, right. And on your way home, you know, if you have listened to a song that praise God, praise Him, not because there's certain songs that you have to listen to the words first to make sure. Are we praising our Lord and Savior? Are we, or is it praising somebody else or something else?
That's right.
You know? But what I'm saying, throughout the day, find time and so 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and pray. Pray. We can pray in the car. We can pray at the grocery store. Anywhere we are, our mind has to continuously be on our Lord and Savior. This is a good way of staying close to God. And you would notice as time go by, the little things in life that irritates you quick or you become impatient, it changes. It changes as you continue to think, to speak to God. I mean, he knows what's in your heart. So, and every situation, this is another thing, every situation you're in, learn to see his hand in it. It can be a difficult situation, like someone might be looking for a job and can't find a job and getting desperate. A Christian now, you know that if you did what you sent out resume and nothing happened, you know that God has you. Do not get anxious. We have to learn that Jesus lives in us and he is in control of our life. So he's in control of wherever that application went and who's seeing it. He can touch that person's heart to make that decision. More than likely, he has something better for us. So learn to see the hands of God in every situation. In every situation. Now, verse 17, where it says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do in word or deed, we are to remember that Jesus is the authority of everything. So what I'm trying to get at, we represent Jesus. We represent the Lord. So if we walking around and complaining or always having like a bad attitude, is that representing the Lord? No, it's not. So in all situation, we have to be thankful. Mm-hmm. And on the job, yes, we come across a lot of non-believers. However, we don't necessarily have to be like reading the scriptures and everything, but they're watching us. Mm-hmm. They're watching to see your reaction. Sometimes they might say something just to see how you react.
That's right.
And if you react the way they do, then they're like, are they serving Jesus? Remember, we are representing Jesus wherever we go.
Amen.
So
Amen.
We have to, our conduct and our behavior and what we say with words and what we do reflects our faith in God, you know, and it truly does. Sometimes, you know, even if it's raining, it helps me tremendously. I used to, like, if it's raining 3-4 days, I'm like, oh my goodness, it's raining so long. But it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter because I am representing Jesus. I am ready. Jesus lives in my heart.
Amen.
And I will continue living for him, and I hope and pray that we all Christians, born again believers, the new nature, we all would continue to strive to grow closer to him and further away from the old nature, even though the old nature is still there, but the further away we can go from that type of living, the better we are. So being a Christian, this is what I would end with. Being a Christian is not just doing something. It is mainly containing someone. Christ is in your heart. Christ is in you. That's who we want to keep Christ in us. Christ is our new nature. When we intentionally choose to let him reign in our life, to take control in our life, the old nature the old nature would want to be in control, but no, let Jesus be in control of every decision that you make.
Amen.
Everything that you make. Come to him asking, Jesus, what should I do? If I'm driving, I'm like, should I go to the store now or should I just go straight home?
Amen.
I talk to Jesus and
Amen.
God.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of times, Jesus, the Holy Spirit always, it tells me what to do.
Amen.
But we have to stay in the moment.
Amen.
Do not allow the things of this world to get us, carried us away and keep us from our relationship with God.
Yeah.
So he becomes the residence king of your existence.
Yes.
Because he created us. Can you imagine some God who created us, how if we are supposed to stay this close to him, but
yes.
You know, the world wants to tell you need to be over there, and it cannot be. Something that created you, we are made in his image. How he designed us.
That's right.
So how can we live apart from him? We
Amen.
Cannot.
Amen.
We cannot. And the spiritual gifts he gives us will flow through our life. You will know that the life you are living is not your life.
Not
yours. It's his.
Amen.
Amen.
It's his. And this is how I end. This is a message I want to remind Christians and those who don't know the Lord yet. I hope that today you would decide to open up your heart, surrender to God, but surrender not half, not just one part of your life, but every part, your entire life, and you will be amazed to see what he does for
Amen.
You in life. If anything, things would happen, situation would happen, you will get hurt, or something happened, but it's that peace of mind that passes all understanding is what keeps you going. The situation doesn't define you at all. It's who you are. It's Jesus who lives inside of you. It's what would make the difference. You know, make it all good. No matter what. And that's what I have for now. And I must say that I take my hat off for anyone who stands here and
all the time. And that's right.
Yes. And you know what? Another thing, when I was going through the scripture, I said, you know what? It would be very nice if all the churches can have our members from time to time give them a like, but you know, it has to be something that you willing to do or want to do. Again, you got to be obedient to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But every person should take that time, because you learn a lot. You learn by reading the Scripture, coming up with, and there's so many examples, there's so many reference in the Bible of how to live, how to live, how to walk in the Spirit with Christ. So instead of always sitting down and listening and singing and praising, it's great to like be up and have that purpose, have that responsibility to present a message, you know, to, and it, yeah, I'm not, you know, again, I ask God to speak through me. It's not about me. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to bring forth the message. It might be in small pieces here and there, but we get the gist of it, isn't it? We, that living a life without Christ is no life at all.
It's no life,
it's no life at all. It's, let's have, say a prayer right now. So I'm going to end it with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving. We praise you and acknowledge that, Lord, it is you, Father, who brought us here, Lord. It is you who gave us the strength, who gave us the ability. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the word that was spoken. And, Lord, we pray that we would not just leave this at what we just heard, but we will continue seeking you, Lord, and seek your word and humble ourselves, Father God, before you. So, Lord, we pray that you would grant us a safe travel home, Father, and anyone on the road, Lord, may you grant them safe traveling to wherever they're going.
Yes,
we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.